This episode of The Instance is brought to you by Squarespace at squarespace.com. You've been sitting around thinking, I need to make a Gul'dan fan site. Well, I got a way for you to do it. Go to squarespace.com, get the free trial, and if you decide to stay, use the code INSTANCE at checkout. That'll get you 10% off your order at squarespace.com. Build it beautiful.
You're listening to The Instance.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance, episode 442, I think. My numbering's been off lately, but I'm pretty sure that's where we're at, 442. My name is Scott Johnson, and I'm joined today with and by and for Patrick Beja. Hello, Patrick.
Oh, with, by, and for.
Yeah, all
wow,
those things.
I'm impressed.
And more I could put on the end. It's nice to see you. How are you? You're still on weird time zones, so Patrick's making real dedicated, I don't know, your dedication.
Efforts? Yeah, no, efforts. It's fine. It's actually earlier. It's better for me with these time zones. But it's the last time before my trip to Japan, so that might be my last appearance on the show for a long time.
Yeah, we may not have Patrick for literally, I don't like that even saying these words, but maybe a couple of months. But I have ideas, so just everyone just chill.
All right.
I have plans. I have a way, I think. I haven't talked to you about him yet, but we'll figure it out. Also with us all the way from sunny, beautiful, humid, and rocking Austin, Texas, we have Mr. William Dills Gregory on the phone. Hello.
Hello.
It's not really a phone.
On the phone.
On the
wow.
Skype.
Okay.
It's phone Skype.
Getting old. We're on the phone Skyping? Okay.
On the phone Skype.
Cheers to that. Good to see you guys this morning.
Yeah, it's nice to see you as well. No Terpster. He's at a conference this weekend. He's like gaggles like of 13-year-olds trying to get signatures and stuff. So that'll be good for him.
Just want to touch that beard, you know?
Well, who wouldn't, really? Except it's full of mites. Anyway. We'll miss him. And Patrick, before we move on to the big chunks of stuff we have to go over today, when you go to Japan, I mean, you're fluent in the language, right? Like, you know Japanese.
Yeah, I wouldn't say fluent, but I can definitely speak the language. Yes.
Will you from there be able to just, I mean, this may sound like a dumb, naive question, but you'll be able to just fire up your PC and play Overwatch and the games that you love and know, and not you're not restricted to some sort of new region problems or anything, are you?
Well, if I did take my PC there, I would, but I'm only taking my Mac, so I guess I'll be able to play the measly 20 FPS that my brand new MacBook Pro allows me to play on Overwatch through Bootcamp.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about taking my PlayStation 4 as well, yeah. But with the current, you know, the power is not the same, so I might buy one there and then sell it when I leave.
Oh, that's all right.
So, yes, the answer is yes, I'll be able to play everything.
Okay, that's awesome. No, I didn't even think about that. So you'll be plenty, I mean, you know, Game in Town, Japan, they know what they're doing. They have video games there. It's not like you're going to be screwed on
I'm
that.
Gonna go, I'm going to go try that, out all the weird games that they have in the arcades and everything. Yeah. Sorry, Dills.
I was just saying that I think there's evidence that regions are going away. I don't know if you guys noticed, but have you played Heroes in the PTR?
Yeah, that is a lot of
you
Koreans
can switch
in there.
Regions from within the game.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can pull up the menu, and then there's a little drop down menu where you can switch your region from inside the game.
Yep.
Are you kidding me?
Nope. No. This is the truth.
This is the best news I've had all week.
Me too.
I know, right?
If I could play more Heroes with Patrick, that's a net gain for everyone, as far as I'm concerned.
It feels to me like and the fact that Overwatch, you just kind of switch whatever region you want and you still have all your stuff. Mm-hmm. It feels like we're getting to that point now where this might be right around the corner where they actually say something about it. But
So maybe the way it would work is that on the Battle.net level from the Battle.net launcher, you launch into the region that you want and you have that account. And then from within that account, you can go to the other region, so you still have all the stuff that you bought.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what I'm kind of thinking too, man. It's pretty sweet.
That would be great. I'm all for this. Count my vote. Yeah,
I hope this is true because, I mean, this isn't something that affects a huge amount of people, mm-hmm. but the people it does affect, it really sucks, you know?
Yeah.
You don't get to play. And the world is very global at this point. You know, we're not stuck to only having friends in our region, in our city, and whatever. So
Yeah,
it's cool if we can actually just go ahead and share our gaming with people from across the pond.
I feel like we've gotten to a place too with the technology where it's less and less of an issue. There's less things you can blame on that are all about the tech or servers or location. Mm-hmm. We're getting to a point where latency is less and less of an issue and a problem. I mean, it may still be better for you to play on servers that are close to you if you want maximum experience. But if it's possible for Patrick and I to play completely across the world in whatever game we want, and we've done this in Overwatch and had no problem in the beta anyway.
Yeah, it's totally fine.
I don't think.
Honestly, the tech has been there for a while already, and the latency, yes, it's much better. When I play in the US for Overwatch, I think it's the majority of the time, I get like 150 milliseconds ping, which is, you know, if you want to play super competitive, like super try hard, you're maybe not going to do that. But so it's the difference between under 50 and under 150. And if you think your reaction time is 150 milliseconds, then you're smoking something, because I can assure you, unless you're exceptional, it is not.
Yeah. And so, a game like World of Warcraft
changes a little bit.
In Warcraft, who even cares? Like, it used to seem like it mattered to a lot of people when it came to split second raid stuff or PvP, but I'm not sure that matters anymore at all. So it'd be great if that game could open up in a way that was more international, more overtly, and less like sneaky ways like, oh, I log in on my US account, or I'm in your same battle group, or whatever, like just do it, you know?
Blizzard is super behind on this. So, you know, it's definitely when we were saying the technology, they're sort of catching up to the state of the world. And I'm pretty sure it's because the architecture of Battle.net was causing problems. And now they found ways to, you know, work around this. I mean, at least for Overwatch, we know it, but it's not because of I don't think it's because of the lag that they weren't allowing this. I think it was because the back end of Battle.net was convoluted and it wasn't planned from the beginning.
Mm. Yeah.
That makes sense. All right. Yeah,
well, I agree.
A bunch of stuff to discuss today. Let's dive right in with this button. I pushed it. That means there's news. Let's talk about this. So the, you know, this expansion coming at Hearthstone is kind of a big deal. Everyone's excited about the Old Gods content. And there's been some hubbub on the forums about people being upset that, I don't know how you say his name. It's N.
I think it's Inzoth.
Is it Inzoth? Is that how you'd say it?
Yeah.
All right. It's like NSYNC.
Yeah, it looks like it.
Okay. I'm going with Inzoth.
It's like NSYNC. It's like the Old Gods boy band.
You could do like Nzoth, but then that's kind of, it doesn't quite roll off the tongue very well. And I don't know.
What were they thinking about this one? Is it Nzoth? All right, Nzoth. Anyway, he's this old god that we've heard of, but never seen, never been revealed in World of Warcraft. And people are pissed that Hearthstone gets a glimpse of him and, you know, a manifestation of some sort of him before Warcraft Prime does. Well, people get mad about all kinds of things, right? But
sure.
But
sure.
I feel like Hearthstone's now in a place where you can do a bit of this back and forth. And get away with it. In other words, you could introduce something on the Hearthstone side and not see that into the game, you know, until later, even something whole cloth new, and see that more craft in a later expansion, or the other way around, which is obviously how most of Hearthstone is. Like 90% of Hearthstone, or excuse me, 99 point something percent of Hearthstone is all, you know, stuff from WoW in the first place. So I don't know why people are so worked up about it, but Dills, as our resident closer to pro than any of us in Hearthstone, just much ado about nothing, like, who cares?
Well, I'll say this. I get the fact that this is a character that we've known about and hasn't been in the game, and people were excited to finally see because it's so mythical. You know, this old god under the sea out there messing with people, you know, from deep below and all that. That's pretty exciting, and people want to see it. But my understanding is that this was supposed to be in WoW, and there was going to be some raid, and the raid got canceled, got pulled because of whatever reason, because Blizzard just doesn't want to put content out they're not happy with.
Right.
So that was kind of the reason that we didn't have Nzoth in World of Warcraft, but I don't understand why people aren't just happy to have Nzoth at all. Like,
right.
Okay, here he is. Look at this. We finally get like to see what he looks like, to see what this character is all about, this massive creature. And, you know, we actually have real artwork now to go along, which is representative of what that character always, that old god always has been, I guess.
Well,
so at this point, I think both worlds are World of Warcraft, right? And
sure,
they don't have to be exclusively like Hearthstone takes stuff that already exists and pulls it in. They've already decided with the Grand Tournament that they are going to, and League of Explorers, that Hearthstone can now invent World of Warcraft lore, essentially.
Sure.
And it's from within Blizzard, so I don't see a problem.
Yeah, it's not like this is made in some secret wing of Activision that has nothing to do with Blizzard. These are all the same people.
Or that this is, you know, some fanfic where they just invented N'Zoth and we have to take it as canon. It's from Blizzard, you know.
Well, Chris Metzen once said regarding the character of N'Zoth, he is one of the primary antagonists of the World of Warcraft, and says this, quote, "He is the one that signs Deathwing's paychecks. He is the creator of the Naga and the final and most powerful old god." So, he's a big deal. And I think maybe that's why people are being weird about it. Lore nerds, Patrick, what's your take?
Well, first of all, as my, you know, usual reaction to internet rage, my first take is, dudes, chill. It's okay. You know, you'll survive.
Yeah.
The second reaction, right. The second reaction, though, is... everyone's saying, oh, World of Warcraft this, World of Warcraft that. It's not the World of Warcraft world. It's the Warcraft world. It's the Warcraft lore, right? World of Warcraft is just one of the games where the lore of Warcraft is featured. Hearthstone is another. It's not, you know, it's like they're introducing stuff in... I don't know, Heroes of the Storm, even though they could, you know, it's still universally linked. And Hearthstone is Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft. Warcraft is in the name. There are many different Warcraft games. I'd also argue that other pieces of lore have been revealed in other media, like the books and the comics. I mean, the character of Varian Wrynn was basically developed in the comic. So I don't, you know, I understand that World of Warcraft is the main thing right now. It's the big dog in town for Warcraft lore, but there's no big, you know, it's not like in the Bible it says, thou shalt not reveal the names of some creatures from Warcraft in other games. So, yeah,
thank goodness, by the way, that's true. Thank goodness. I'm trying to think of all the problems that would cause if that was a thing.
And by the way, this card is incredibly powerful. Mm-hmm. If you read what this card does. So this does represent to me, if you think about this card and what this card might do, if we saw this character in the World of Warcraft, you know, just summoning a ton of death rattly, crazy, scary minions all at one time. That's pretty sweet, man. That's a really, really cool effect, and that's what the card does in Hearthstone. So I think he's proportionately powerful enough that we should be happy with this version of... Sorry, it's N'Zoth, according to the chat room.
N'Zoth.
So we'll go with that.
All right. N'Zoth. I really like N'Zoth because it's...
I like the N, too, yeah. I was hoping that's what it was. Whatever.
Yeah.
You know, all these old gods have the crazy... Like, it's the Yasharaj.
Yeah, it's bad.
Which is spelled like Isarj.
Yeah, it's goofy.
It's Lovecraft. So.
Oh, very Lovecraftian, sure. Like, it's Cthulhu all over this stuff. That's the other thing I wanted to say here. Part of what makes me not care that much is what we're talking about are big, gelatinous, many-teeth-looking, octopus, stupid-looking creatures, which is fine. You know, Yasharaj was not walking around on 2 feet pontificating. He was writhing around and slopping his tentacles everywhere. Like, it's just a goofy thing. So it's not, I don't think people should get all worked up about it. I think it's fine.
Cthulhu is literally a giant eyeball with other eyeballs.
Which is really, that's a good point. All right, I'm going to play something for the chat room. You'll see it live if you're watching video. If you're at home, you'll just hear this. But there was a new Warcraft TV spot, specifically the third released. And it seems to be very action-oriented. Lots of stuff going on. And a very curious choice of soundtrack. So I'm just going to play this. TheNerdist.com had a post. It's on YouTube as well. So anyway, here it is. Check this out. Hopefully this won't be too loud. There we go. Okay. It's playing. Got a green screen. Appropriate for all audiences. Sure. Whatever. Motion Picture Association of America. Good job. Good work.
The Roman Empire experienced...
This isn't it at all. This is something else completely. Gosh dang it. Freaking, you know, ads play even when I have a blocker up for the show. Ah, well, forget it. Anyway, it's super cool and worth seeing. And also, I want to go around the horn a little bit and just ask if this makes you more excited for the thing, since we're not getting regular trailers. Does it make you less excited? Does it look like a big video game? Are you worried? I got a couple of worries. I'll just say one of them, and it's the only worry I have, really, because everything else kind of impresses me, and I'm pretty stoked about it. Who's the mage who's constantly throwing blue arcane magic all over the place? Do we know who that's supposed to be?
Is it Medivh?
No, I don't think so, because Medivh's played
by... Well, I think we know that Medivh is going to be in this, right?
No, he is, for sure, and that's he's played by... Brain just went dead.
But that's not the actor, right?
No, the one in these commercials throwing his blue light everywhere. I don't think it's Medivh.
It's probably a new character then. And I have to tell you, I am completely outraged that they would introduce a new character, a major character, not in World of Warcraft.
No, it's fine. And look,
chat room says Khadgar.
Khadgar, okay.
Oh, wait, what? But Khadgar is like the disciple of Medivh.
Oh, well, maybe it could be him, though. And we know Medivh's in it, so maybe that's the deal. But anyway, what's bugging me about him is he looks like he just got off a bus in Portland. He looks like a total hipster dude. He's got no accent of any kind. I need some British accents in my Azeroth movie. I know that's stereotypic, and that's what we do with all our fantasy stuff. But damn it, when a guy walking around with magic is going, "Hey guys, what's up? I got some magic to throw around," it doesn't work for me. I need him to have an accent and like some gravitas, you know, like a British guy on a stage. Instead, I feel like I'm looking at just some dude, and it takes me out of it. So that's the only thing. And I wish I could play it now so people could hear this guy and see what I'm complaining about. And it's a small thing. But the reason I'm nervous is I'm going to rent a movie theater that month. And I'm going to rent out this big theater and have all these locals and people come see the movie together. And it's going to be really expensive. And I don't want this to be a bomb and suck. So I have this very personal, stake in this.
Yeah, but I got bad news, Scott. It might suck. This is a possibility. Even if it does suck, you will be with the right people.
Oh yeah,
you guys can all hug each other.
We'll maximize
and then go home and play World of Warcraft.
Yeah, we can maximize our absolutely. Yeah. We'll mitigate any suckage there might be. But
yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I don't know why. But I'm here, worried about
here's
it.
The thing. You got it with a movie like this coming in sight unseen. I think again, like with any movie, just go in and just let it happen. You know, and don't force it. Like, don't hope too much, because then it's only going to be a letdown. You know what I mean?
Mm. And you,
the more pressure you put on it, the harder it's going to be for it to actually live up to anything.
Is it petty of me though to have this feeling that this one character just seems completely out of place?
One character can definitely make a movie worse for sure. Yeah. So,
all right.
But do characters in World of Warcraft? Do they have British accents? They don't. They all
not
speak
the game.
American.
No,
yeah. You're totally right. You're totally right.
Some characters kind of do, but not all.
Well, they have the dwarves are, you know, some of them have accents, but
they speak. It's not a British accent, but it's old sounding.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's a lot of sort of, your horse has brought us to this terrible
dude
place.
And Hella. Right. Stuff like that.
Yeah. No, and that's my worry, that this guy's going to walk into the king's courtroom thing and go, my liege, I just freaking got here on my Uber and I need a drink. You know, I don't know.
Wait, is this guy played by Zac Efron?
I really hope not.
Yeah, I was going to say, the chat room is saying Gilnean is, they have accents. They have British accents. So.
Yeah, there you go. Yep, they do.
Yeah,
yep.
And the
dwarves are like Scottish.
Yeah, exactly. How would you like a dwarf to walk up and go, "Hey, dude, what's up? What's up, everyone? I'm a dwarf." That would sound terrible. You need him to go, "Arr! Well, you've got to, I don't know why he's a pirate, but you know what I mean.
It's the Torbjorn skin.
Exactly. That is, oh my gosh, that skin. We'll get to all that in a bit, but geez.
Yeah, I mean, I think it could. The thing is, what Warcraft does best is take traditional fantasy and just, you know, turn it just a little bit different and make it a little bit less serious or a little bit more fun. And it works. With Warcraft, it works. I don't know that it's going to work in the movie, but I wouldn't want them to be beholden to the codes of fantasy and to have the sage old, you know, wizard who comes and starts speaking with a British accent like a stage actor. Mm. So I don't know that it's going to work out, but I definitely wouldn't want them to do stuff because they have to. I think they should do stuff because it's what's best for that world.
Yeah, maybe I can get over it.
Don't know that the movie's going to be good, but
yeah, I might be able to get over it. But I don't know. I guess I'm just, I don't know.
When you start, what this stuff is doing for me though isn't really getting me more excited, but it is giving me a glimpse at what this is going to look like, and that's enough for me at this point.
Yeah, who knew that orc ladies could be as good looking as
the orc ladies are hot, man.
Yeah, that doesn't work in the game. There's your broken lore right there.
Damn, Agra. Wow.
She's basically painted slightly green and has buck teeth or bottom tusks,
it's the girl that Captain Kirk was sleeping with in Star Trek, but with some teeth.
I love that idea. All right. Well, that's happening.
But just take some, like, just go through and just look at all the, and just pause it and look at stills and mm-hmm. just get an idea of the look of everything. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's good.
It looks
yeah.
very cool.
The thing is, the previous trailers looked interesting, but and sort of strange. These ones, these more recent ones, and maybe it's because it's TV trailers, but they look, you know, more action-y and more traditional for a summer action movie. And it sort of reassures me that there's going to be some things that I can hold on to in the movie, and just it's going to be just straight fun. But it also, I don't know that the whole movie is going to be like this, or it's just the cut of that trailer that is making it seem more classic for people to not be disoriented.
Mm-hmm. And we get a better look at the dwarf. We hear him speak. We get to see a bunch of Gul'dan at the beginning. And he looks fine.
You really need to get a pause of around the time I just linked to you, Scott.
All right.
And just take a look.
Did you stick it in
Skype?
It's
about 21 seconds in.
All right, I'm checking it right
now. And we get some real goofy orc lady going on here.
All right, here we go. I'm playing it. This should work, actually.
Oh, my God.
With this.
Right, but you gotta get it paused, though.
Where she does a little derp face. All right.
Yeah, she does a derp face. All right, here we go. It's pretty good.
I'm gonna find it.
They have to understand when they're putting this stuff in their trailers that people are gonna do this.
Dang it! I missed it again. Okay, here we go. All right, jumps on the thing. Ready.
We'll protect the kingdom. With this.
Pause. Oh, there we go. Derp. Okay, here you go. Chat room. You can see it. There she is. All right. You know what? Now this will play. I'm gonna actually play it because why not? We're here. Let's just hear it. Let's hear it
we
out.
Got there.
Here's
we
the
did
whole
it.
Thing.
It has begun. War is coming.
If we do not unite, our world will perish.
Unthinkable threat.
You might want to head home, big man.
Well then, we better get going.
This music,
we'll
dude.
Protect the kingdom.
With this.
Yeah.
Derp.
Music is weird.
Warcraft rated PG-13.
Yeah, that's exciting to me. I'm going to see it.
Yeah, I think the trailer is good. It's definitely gets you excited. It doesn't tell the whole story. It's just look at what this movie is going to feel like.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and that's enough,
wow,
maybe.
Punch.
For what we're trying to do, it's enough. All right. Where are we now? Oh, we got more to say.
Yeah, if there's anything to pick at, it's the music.
Yeah.
In this.
Yeah, and sometimes I'm like
pretty sure it's not going to be the music.
Yeah, you're not going to hear that in the movie. That's trailer only.
Yeah,
right there.
I would count on that. All right, so just like, by the way, Suicide Squad will not have that great Queen song in it. You can count on that.
That's one of the best trailers you've ever seen.
Oh, it's amazing, dude.
Love that trailer.
Those people
got to see it last night on the big screen for the first time.
Isn't that great?
And it was sweet.
Oh,
yeah.
They should. Here's what they should do. They should, whoever made that trailer making company should have like classes and then teach all the rest of these idiots how to make trailers, because it's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even if that movie sucks, that's a great trailer. All right. What they said.
I don't think that will suck, though.
I'm really looking forward to it. Yeah. I'm bullish on that movie. Anyway, Blizzard came out and said why D3 and or D2 rather and Warcraft 3 got patches, and turns out it's a real simple pedestrian kind of boring reason. Warcraft 3 has received a modern day update. Patch 1.27a, they say, is aimed at enabling this legacy title to run smoothly on contemporary operating systems, like we had said last week. And the client now has improved compatibility with Windows 7 and above and Mac OS 10. Take a look at the Warcraft 3 forum post, blah, blah, blah. They said they released a similar patch for Diablo 2, which, again, same reasons. So, yeah, my conspiracy, they had some master plan to have, you know, legacy Blizzard games and some sort of toy chest that you would get for free and or whatever my thinking was is all wrong. It was just, like, compatibility stuff. So,
well, yeah. It's not over. they're still doing more updates. I think we're going to see it in the Battle.net client at some point. But yeah, for free, I'm still not sure. But they're still doing more updates.
I think you're dead right that there'll be a price attached to it. It won't be expensive, but yeah. You know, $5, $10, whatever it's going
to
be.
But the cool thing is still the fact that what this represents as far as Blizzard is concerned, what this really means to me is that I could buy a Blizzard title and know that 20 years from now I'll be able to pop back in and play it on whatever the craziest machine is that's available at that time, because they don't just leave them on the floor and forget them. They actually go back years later and make sure you can still play these games.
Well, and it plays to
that's pretty cool.
It plays to the strengths of the strengths of PCs and desktops in general, which is that things just go on forever. It's not like a console cycle where it comes and goes, and then compatibility is a huge question moving forward, and maybe sometimes they do, sometimes they don't, and sometimes players just don't care. They just move on to the next thing. But on PCs, we kind of have this expectation that it's going to be around.
Yeah.
If you click on the classic games section of the store now, here is what they've got up there. Warcraft 3, $9.99. And, of course, now compatible. If you want the Frozen Throne upgrade or expansion, $9.99 also. $14.99 for the StarCraft Anthology, which includes StarCraft 1 and the Brood War expansion. Diablo 2 is sold for $10 and an additional $10 for Lords of Destruction. I would argue that that's all a little expensive, but I guess if you never owned them before, it's not. But for me, where I don't know where all my old discs are, and I don't know where the crap I put any of that stuff, and if I wanted to grab Diablo 2 and its expansion, $20 seems a little steep, given the that it's a 640 by 480 video game, or 800 by 600, whatever it is. So, I don't know. Anyway, that's the update on that. We got a possible leaked BlizzCon date, and then they yanked it. I think this probably is true, but for about a half a second, they said that it was happening on November 4th and 5th, a little earlier than usual.
That's really early.
Yeah. Well, early compared to what was the last year?
No, 8th? That's what it was.
It's like the 8th last year. It's close. It's
yeah,
like
it was after.
Wasn't it? Like November 8th, 9th?
So it's kind of the same.
No,
week,
I guess
right?
It's around. Yeah, I guess it was around the same. Yeah.
I think they're done doing summer stuff because I bet that stunk real bad. Remember those days when it was like, ooh, it's like.
Maybe
90.
It's expensive too.
Yeah, well, that's true. But also, you just had so many big black shirt wearing. Been outside walking from their hotel nerds just
it's hot
stinking
in November
up the joint
in Anaheim, so
sure, keep the stink level down. Anyway, they said this on the post that is now not there anymore. BlizzCon is an epic celebration of Blizzard Entertainment's game universes and the global player communities that bring them to life. This year marks the 10th BlizzCon and the Blizzard 25th anniversary. We'd love for you to join us to celebrate these milestones together at the Anaheim Convention Center in Anaheim, California on Friday, November 4th and Saturday, November 5th, 2016. And then it got pulled. So it either got leaked or someone goofed or it's not final or whatever.
It seems like that's going to be it. I'm going to go. I missed last year.
You're going. Sweet.
Yay.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll all be there this year. I'm looking forward to going back. And that seems like a fine date. So Blizzard, you just need to hurry up so we can get good deals on tickets. All right.
Yes, please.
Yeah. That's the only part I hate about waiting.
I can book my crappy hotel.
Yeah. Where were you last year? You were at some kind of off the strip thing.
Yeah. I never get anything nice because I don't spend any time in the room. So.
Right. That's a good idea.
That's where I go at the end of the night to pass out.
You just need a place how to much? Take a dump and sleep. That's what that's
how
what
much
I say.
Is it? How much is the like the Marriott or the ones that are right next to the...
We got a deal on the Hilton last year, and I can't remember what it was. It was like
they're less than $200 a night. Yeah, but it's up there.
It's like $185 a night or something.
Yeah,
and they don't know this, but we shared ours with our kids. We were supposed to have two rooms, and we were like, "I'm going to be cheap and have all four of us in here," and that worked out fine. But take that, Hilton.
But it tacks on quite a bit if you get three nights and.
Yeah.
In one of those places.
And if you like spending a lot of time in elevators, I can't recommend the Hilton enough, man. Because I never got off that elevator.
That before. Hilton, it's amazing.
It's a nightmare.
See, I spent less than $100 on my room the whole time last time because I split it with somebody. So
that's great.
And that's I have to make it work that way. There's like no way I can justify spending a lot of money on a room and then not being in the room, you know?
I'm that way with any trip, dude. Let me tell you, this is just my wife drives her crazy. We go anywhere, even Cancun, and it's like, all right, what did we pay for the rooms? We did. Holy crap. I need to at least watch 10 HBO movies in here. And
yeah, exactly. Like, I'm going to take a bath.
Yeah. I hate paying money for a room I never spend time in. I hate it. Ugh. Anyway,
but you know what's really fun though is a vacation where you just get a really nice room and take advantage of it. Yeah. That's really fun.
It's great. We even do that here in town sometimes. Just like a night away, you go to like the Hampton downtown and just room service it up and watch, leave the TV on when you go down somewhere and just let the electricity run. It's great.
But it's true that BlizzCon is probably, and those conventions, but BlizzCon especially, it's probably the place you're going to go when you're really going to spend the least amount of time in your room. Yeah. I mean, you go there, you sleep maybe 4 hours, maybe five, and then you're back up going to,
you're up early in the morning feeling like crap, and then you hang out all day again.
Yep. Right on down. So anyway, we're going to look forward to it. I hope they announce it soon because seriously, tickets are expensive. So hurry up, Blizzard. Let's get this going. What else here? Oh, I can't go through all this news and not at least mention and thank the community team for doing this nice little write-up about me today. I woke up this morning and found a post on the WoW blog with a bunch of real weird looking pictures of me and it was real nice. So thank you for that.
Hey, I didn't see that. What is that?
It's this community spotlight deal and there's pictures of me doing things and you can see a sweet hair part that I had going that day and it's real good. Anyway,
what's the link?
Why didn't you just go to worldofwarcraft.com and it's right, or it's on the launcher too, I think. Let's see, World of Warcraft
on the launcher.
Yeah, hold on, it was when I looked earlier. I don't know if it's still there. Let's see if I click it now. There it is. If you go to Community Spotlight Scott Johnson, top post on the blog, it will show photos of, oh, there's a Nerdtacular photo. You can actually see Patrick in that photo. Look at your photo there, buddy. You can see you making a little face over there at our instance panel in 2015. Anyway, it was really nice of them, and I don't know, it was a very nice little honor I didn't expect. So thank you for that, Blizzard.
Very nice.
Yes. Since I'm in their back pocket, like everyone always says, it's just nice to
Well,
see
you
that.
Know, you're already in the back pocket, so you might as well get some spotlight for it.
Get some pub.
Yeah. Anyway, what else? We got, anybody else get the alpha BattleNet thing that says, hey, do you want to help us test voice features and all that? I know you did, Dills, right?
I did, yeah. I haven't actually tested any of these features yet, though. Let's see.
Should mess with that and try it.
So when I click create a channel, I still don't see you, Scott. So maybe it's because are you not online?
I'm not online right now, no. I installed it and I haven't done jack with it. So
I only have four friends in there right now.
That haven't?
But yeah, I still haven't actually had a chance to straight up test it out.
All I know is this. If the voice stuff is as good as it is currently in Overwatch, this is a really good thing across all their games.
It looks exactly that way, though. You know the little headset icon?
Mm-hmm.
It's using that exact same thing. Yeah. So you create a channel, you click the little headset icon, you turn it on, you turn it off. The one thing that I noticed, though, just from playing around a little bit, is that you can do voice activated or push to talk. However, it doesn't look like there's a threshold setting yet for voice activated. A lot of times you can set a threshold where below this, it's not going to open your mic.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see one of those yet, so your mic will just sit open, which is fine. That's similar to like Skype, but...
But again, that works really well. Like that, I have that. That's how I do it in Overwatch because it's just too twitchy to want to be pushing a button all the time for me.
Yeah, you don't want to be... You're pressing enough buttons, you don't want to be pushing to talk as
and
well.
And I got to say, I don't really ever feel like it's been an issue. Once in a while, someone types real loud or someone breathes funny or something.
People with their crazy mech keyboards, yeah. But outside of that, and even when that happens, I mean, we're used to using Skype for these games anyway, so we're used to the whole open mic thing.
Sure.
It's just like having a long-running phone call, essentially.
I think it's great.
You hear everything.
If it's as good a quality
as they've
done.
You hear all the farts. You hear the burps.
You know what I get a lot? That's funny you should bring that up. I get this a lot, it's never been true, but I get a lot of people send me emails saying, hey, if you look at minute 32 and 14 seconds in whatever show, I heard a fart. And I'm like, and then I always have to go look because I'm like, well, we can't that. And it's never there. I can never hear it. I don't know what they're talking about, but that happens at least twice a week.
So people must be listening to your shows on massive speakers turned all the way up. I've never heard a fart in one of your
looking,
podcasts.
You know, just listening for that fart yeah, that they know is going to come.
I know it's coming.
I mean, I wouldn't even bring it up if it wasn't like two of these a week. I don't get it. It's so strange to me. Anyway,
well, maybe we have to prove them right this week.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
What did you guys have to eat?
Fart at some point?
Patrick, let it rip, dude. Like. You're eating finished food. There's got to be something wrong with that. Let's go. Let it rip. Your turn.
Wow, Finnish food is amazing. Is dude.
It? Yeah, the Finnish never fart.
What do you guys eat? Is it just like it's like a translucent glop on a plate? What do you guys eat over there?
It's fish. It's fish all the time, all day, every day. It's amazing.
Fish farts.
Swedish fish. Or wait. Finnish fish.
Finnish fish. I like that. Do you only eat the fins? Get it? Only the fins? Get it?
See what
I
did there?
That's pretty good. It's pretty good. Dad joke in effect. All right. So anyway, I want to test that and see how that works and. Maybe Dills and I will get some time on that and we'll report back. Sad news, I think. We've had him on the show a couple of times, some great interviews, been always a friend of the program, and one of the nicest people I ever met at Blizzard or through Blizzard. Mickey Nelson, is leaving Blizzard after 22 years with the company. Some people wanted to immediately jump to this idea that with Jonathan gone and now him gone, who's next and, oh, what's happening at Blizzard and all this. It really came down to this. In his letter, he said, "The time has come for me to pursue personal projects that I love. I'll be moving from California to Washington State. My last day at Blizzard will be March 25th. I look forward to working with Blizzard on freelance projects." I mean, that's today, isn't it? Yeah, last day is today. He says, "One of which we'll be announcing shortly. Aside from that, my upcoming works might include more game-related writing, script writing, consultation, and most certainly novels, all of which will be announced and discussed right here in this newsletter once a month." He sends this newsletter out every month, I guess. "I spent some of the best years of my life at Blizzard. It is a bittersweet departure, to say the least, but I'm excited for all the opportunities that lie ahead." So there you have it, the big news. Thank you all for your continued support. Hope this finds you all well. Stay awesome, Mick. So I'm sad because he's one of the, as far as the writing and creative teams go, he was like one of those guys that you just hope would never not be there. Metzen. When I asked Metzen, I said, "Oh, it must be a huge loss." He says he's so happy and excited to work on his stuff. So it sounds like they're just, he's jazzed. He's got new plans. He's breaking out on his own. So I just wanted to at least bring it up and, you know, say, you know, good luck, man. Because the WoW team, although it sounds like he's still going to freelance. I don't know what that is. It could be books, could be comics. He's had his hand in all that stuff. So it's possible where we may even get more Mickey Nelson down the road. I don't know. But yeah, he'll be missed. He's a good guy. So there you go. Moment of silence for Mickey. He's not dying. He's just leaving.
He did. Well, he did mostly expanded content, right? Like expanded universe content.
Yeah. A lot of the comics projects and the books that they put out, like the one before Pandaria with Lily, the story of her and her family and all that. The one that I can't remember who the illustrator was, but he wrote that. Did some Diablo and StarCraft project writing and. Like most of those blog posts where you'd have the extended lore, I can't remember for which games, maybe all of them. Often it was Mickey's name on those. He was a
big deal. He did the Goblins versus Gnomes. Mm-hmm. That was cool.
Yeah.
A little comic. Yeah.
22 years. That's a long freaking time.
Yeah. That's a long time.
That's really long for sure. I mean, I completely, when he says, I know there are, you know, conspiracy theorists everywhere, but when he says that he wants to move on and work on personal projects, as someone who has worked at Blizzard as well, and, you know, not for 22 years, but I completely understand that it, as awesome and as fun as working on franchises like Warcraft and Hearthstone and Diablo, and as fun as it is, it's still not, you know, it might not be the thing that you would like to do if everything was ideally set up in the most wonderful of worlds, right?
Sure, so sure.
It's completely understandable that some people, after having worked for 20 years, just want to, you know, branch out and do something that they care about maybe even more intimately. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't want to, you know, say that everyone's like me, but certainly that was something that I felt. I loved working at Blizzard, but there might be other things that you would prefer to do if you could. And, you know, so.
Well, and part of that is taking that experience and taking all the stuff you did and whatever you learned and taking that into a place where you can now apply it, all those lessons to your own work. I mean, that's a huge, It's a huge deal. So I'm stoked
for him. For me, for example, my experience in denying any flaw in any Blizzard game and saying they're awesome no matter what, that skill, I got that skill working at Blizzard, people, and I'm making huge use of it right now. Yeah, so there you go. Work experience. It's valuable.
Good job. Real quick, let's talk about Heroes of the Storm. Big patch lands, we think, this Tuesday. There's no reason to think it wouldn't.
I think they confirmed. Well, they confirmed Dehaka for Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
And it was part of the PTR changes and all this other stuff is there, and it all seems like it works. So
he's great, dude. He's really fun, and he's weird. He's got a little stubby arm and a little tiny hand, and he drags you places with his tongue, which is real annoying, and
he burrows under the ground, and he's just and he comes out of the bushes, and he's awesome.
He's Zergy.
He's very strong, I think, too, but not overly tuned.
He's Zergy. He's Zergy is hell. Right. It's like Zergy is all hell and back, and also can tend to, I think he can be a pretty good main tank. We talked about this a bit on Core, but he also seems kind of ambushy in a way that seems fun.
And it's one of the coolest ultimates that you'll ever see, which is have you had that done to you yet, Scott?
Where everyone disappears but you?
Everyone disappears.
No, that's a real shit show. You got to get the hell out of there. Yeah.
It's frightening.
It's really bad. It basically blinds you to every, I forget what it's called, but everyone gets that you're fighting with. Let's say you're having a really intense five-man fight. He pops that thing and suddenly all your teammates no longer exist. So if you're a healer, you don't know who you're healing or who to heal. I mean, it just scattershots everybody. And I haven't really seen anybody counter it very well yet. So
I think the counter is to just run away when it happens in the direction you think you should go. But it slows you for 3 seconds, and then it shrouds you, I guess you could say, for 6.
Yeah.
So it's 9 seconds. And in a game like Heroes, that is an eternity.
Yeah.
Most of these other heroic abilities are 2.5 seconds. It silences you, or 1 second stun plus whatever, and suddenly 9 seconds you're being detained, as it were. But it's frightening.
It basically destroys team fights, and it's a new dynamic that I kind of like.
It's really cool, though.
He's good.
I love what they're doing with these heroes, and some people have said that Heroes is not reaching the numbers that Blizzard wanted, and we don't know what numbers Blizzard wanted or expected. Mm-hmm. But one thing that they are doing, and you can't deny that they're doing something amazing, is the variety and the innovation that they're doing with these heroes and the abilities. It's awesome. Every hero really feels totally different than every other hero.
Yeah, and even in cases of older ones that maybe were feeling a little bit samey or feeling like first run alpha characters, like Tychus, for example, are getting a rework. I played him on the PTR the other night, and holy crap, Tychus is a fun factor of like a million for me suddenly. And I liked him already. I already thought he was great, but
his minigun ramping up was not that fun. And I think getting rid of that was a huge deal. Now it's like you just press it and go.
Yeah.
He's very cool right now. He's in a good place, because it sucked for him. It's weird for characters that you think of as being incredibly strong to just be afterthoughts in a game like this, as far as the meta is concerned.
Yeah.
And you never saw him in games.
No.
Unless someone was just messing around, And now I think you'll see him in competitive Heroes games. Heroes of the Dorm is going on right now.
Yeah.
So we're going to see a lot of high quality play there.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll see more of him.
Already have. This weekend there's a bunch more. And also coming with this patch. And Patrick, if this region flip thing happens, you need to make sure that's on your Japan computer as well, because we need to play more Heroes.
All of my Blizzard games are on the Japan computer, which is the general computer.
All right. Good.
I'm trying to find confirmation about this, and I'm looking, but I can't find it.
It wasn't in the notes anywhere. But if you open, if you go ahead and launch the PTR version, you'll notice it's when you just click the little settings thing, and you get that first menu. There's another arrow there, and you click that, and then it gives you the three regions. It's weird.
I'll wait until Tuesday, but if it is, party. Yep.
I had no idea that that was in there at all, and then I was just playing because I was just testing stuff out before Stormcast, and I just kind of happened upon it. I was like, oh. What?
Yeah, I'm really okay. Jazzed
and
about
I clicked
that.
It, and it just seamlessly moved me into another region. So
yeah, and for the record, this could purely be a PTR thing to maximize who you're playing
it
with.
Could
and
be
balance,
and maybe they're testing it. And
But I remain hopeful and optimistic that that's a thing they will do, because I want to play with my weird foreign friends. Patrick, you're one of those, Patrick. Thank you. Other things to be excited about. I played a bunch of this on the PTR as well. Lost Cavern is this weird, it's basically it's like an 80-20 project for one of the Blizzard guys. At least that's the rumor flowing around. Somebody was like, well, what if we did this? A single lane sort of ARAM focused custom game.
Explain ARAM. People are going to be angry.
All mid, all random. So, right? ARAM. No,
all random, random, all
mid.
Random,
yeah, I had it backwards. Yeah. All random, all mid. Yeah.
And, Amar.
Which is a thing that, you know, other MOBAs, people can do that in those games. But basically, in those games, you have to just play by the rules. We're only going to go mid, and it's all random. But in this case, other than the random part, it don't have to be random. You can, you know, pick characters if you want. But basically, it's a single lane version, constructed basically a version of the Spider Queen level. And it's got a single lane. You cannot hearth back to the Hall of Storms, so you can't go back there and heal and get new mana. There are healing fountains, and there are towers to get through and gates and everything. Excuse me. But there's also globes that periodically pop out of the vents, so you can get those. But basically, it's a single-lane fight. It's just you get in there and you fight. There are no objectives other than get to the core and kill it and destroy the other team. You're still leveling up like normal, but it is just a big, giant team brawl on a single lane, and it's fun as hell. It's basically, how do I put this? It's just like condensed, concentrated team fighting. And it's so if you're in just that mood of like, all right, I got a bunch of my friends are online, we're going to get into this thing. And they've also put some ways in chat to easily make it so people can just link into your games randomly or otherwise. So all that stuff seems really nicely set up. You just want to get in there and wreak havoc and blow off some steam and not worry about, well, when are we getting merc camps, or what's the strategy on when the boss should be gotten, or worrying about timers on when the golem's ready to, you know, take over, when the dragon knight's up, or any of that stuff. You just go for it. It's not in regular quick play or Hero League or anything like that. It's just straight up a custom mode, and I absolutely love that they put it in there. So that appears to be coming on Tuesday as well. Dills, you had some time with that, right? Didn't you play through that some? The Lost Caverns? Did I lose Dills?
I actually have not had a chance to do it yet because we were supposed to do it with Jocelyn, right? On that...
I don't know what changed.
Lady versus some, man night thing, yeah, but we never
changed.
Got to it.
Yeah, I don't know if it changed or we just never got around to it, I guess, but yeah.
I'm a little bit... Like, I wish it wasn't only custom. I wish you could just queue up in this thing and go. Mm-hmm. But I understand why. It's just, it doesn't seem like a fully fleshed out thing yet.
Yeah.
But, you know, they just might not be ready to split the queuing player base yet.
Maybe it won't be a full mode, but as far as we know. But, like, this idea of going in and in the chat room saying, I forgot the actual command, but slash something, something, and then you can name the thing. Anybody in general can just click it and they're in. And so we ended up doing that in the PTR. We just did the quick line. We had three of us in already, myself, Bo, and John. And suddenly, the whole thing just fills up with people immediately, and we're off to fight.
Yeah, because everybody wanted to try it out. And that's basically what I'm going to have to do to mess with it. But I was more concerned with figuring out how Sylvanas works now and stuff like that. So
sure.
I haven't had a chance to do it yet, but I'm definitely excited for it. It's something that that I think the people want.
Yep.
People want stuff like this. They want different kind of really cool maps, but I just want them to be dropped into the general population at some point.
Maybe.
And not this, you know, only custom game thing.
Yeah.
So do you think it means something for the arena mode that they introduced at
It's kind of bizarre, right? That arena was announced so long ago and then we get this first. It's very weird. And
not only that, they just don't talk about arena right now. Like, no. It just hasn't been brought up since BlizzCon, so I don't know what's going on with that. My speculation is that something about they do want that to be more of a mainline mode, and in typical Blizzard fashion, they want to just tweak it until it's right, or if it's not working, not do it at all. But this other thing is more like, well, what's the harm in having it as a custom thing? We'll give them some hooks to do stuff with people outside that in the chat, so it's not like you have to know everyone to get them in or have them in your friends list. So they've made ways to get in there, make it accessible, but it's really low. It's like low risk for them to do this. It's just a thing.
Yeah.
And maybe it tests things out for them. Maybe they get to see a whole new aspect of play, or they get to see, you know, maybe this will just give new ideas. I don't know. But I like that it's there, and I'll be happy to do it. But I really would like to hear more about Arena, specifically when it's going to be here or how it's going or something. They haven't said anything about it.
Yeah.
So
I was so excited for that feature too, because it's also going to have some cool rewards tied to it and stuff, and just, you know, I just want more ways to play this game because this game is awesome. And doing all the stuff we've been doing with the fun rules and things like that have been awesome. Some of the funnest games I've had have been that stuff that we've done.
Yeah.
The Heroes Charity Brawl and this latest Ladies Versus. We should tell the people what happened. Yeah. That was
it was great.
It was weird. We didn't know what to expect. I thought it was going to be like the Heroes Charity Brawl. Mm-hmm. And then we show up in the first game. Jocelyn goes, okay, here's the rule. You guys can't move unless you're on your mounts.
Yeah.
And we were like, what?
Yeah. It's the thing, you had a total honor system at two, and it was hard because sometimes auto attacks makes your guy move anyway. And so you had to try to stay stationary when you weren't mounted. It's hard.
Impossible not to move at all in a game like this, but it was really fun because they were giving us all these crazy challenges and then we had to figure out how to, you know, make it work. So, you know, with comps and things like that. It was super fun, super fun. I encourage anyone else out there, if you got a little group of friends who play together, do some weird stuff. Yeah. Try out some weird stuff, man. There's a lot of things to do in this game.
Yeah, there's other stuff like bans and character tweaks. We could go into those in detail. We won't. You can probably go listen to the core, go listen to Stormcast. There's big, big detail on all of these little things.
Just happened yesterday, and they went over it, too. So.
Oh, yeah. Plenty
of people talking about it.
Plenty of people talking about it. But I will say this. The keybinding stuff has me beyond stoked. It's basically this in a nutshell. You can assign every key for every character for every account individually. So for example, and what I mean by this is we're talking about quick casting. For those that don't know what that is, in the game you normally get like a little reticule for certain abilities. Like for example, Frostbolt from Jaina puts a little line in an arrow, and it's essentially an indicator of where you're aiming that thing. It's kind of a skill shot, so you want to know where you're aiming it. And when you first hit Q to bring that up, down goes the reticule. Then you left click to confirm the direction. Boom, there's your move. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are fans of quick casting, which is you get rid of that reticule stage and you just mouse in the direction you're going. You hit Q and it fires immediately. You avoid the reticule stage. And there's a lot of argument on both sides why one is better than the other. And the way it's been in the past, the game has supported it, but you either turned it on binary by default, or by default it was off. You could turn it on, so that meant everything was quick casted, or turn it off and nothing is quick casted. Problem with that is things like her Ring of Frost, one of her ultimates, when you would lay that down, that's very positionally important. Like, it's a ring. You want to get people within the ring, so you're doing a lot of estimating about distance and where they're running already and how long it takes to cast that ability. So quick casting it is like a shot in the dark. So I would never have quick casting on because I play her a lot, and that totally blows that ability for me. This is going to let you go in and say, all right, for Jaina, I want Q to be quick casted. I want W to be quick casted. And hell, I'll even have E be quick casted, but let's not have her ultimate be quick casted. And then the next character, I can say, all right, I want Vala, her Hungering Arrow, absolutely quick cast that. But I don't want to do that with my the other one, what's it called?
Your multi-shot.
Multi-shot, because multi-shot,
I want to get everything inside the cone.
Yeah, here. And I want to know where the cone is so I know that I'm getting everything I can get. And then E, make, you know, have her doing whatever it is. My brain's not working today. Her thing where she moves.
Vault,
thank you. When she does vault, that might be a good quick cast choice. The point is, every key, every character, fully customizable, including attack move. So if you're doing attack moves and you'd rather just put your mouse out there and hit A, you don't have to confirm. You don't have to tell it where to go. It just does it. It is a total game changer.
And you can even do
changer.
This for not just heroes, but you can do this for the Dragon Knight, and you can do this for the Garden Terror.
Mm-hmm.
Like they really went all out. They're like, yeah, anything in the game, you can figure out exactly how you want to play that specific hero or that specific character. It's pretty intense, but it's a very useful tool.
And you might say to people like Patrick who've just wrapped their head around this game and gotten good at it and really are digging it, you might go, what? There's a whole new, I don't want to deal with that. Seems like a nightmare. It's really intuitive and easy. Like you can do it in the middle of the game, in fact. So you die and you're on a death timer. You're like, well, that quick casting's a bad idea for Q. I'm going to quickly change that back. Boom, you're done. You're back in the game and playing the way you want to. It's a really nice feature. Cannot overstate it. I think it's going to change the way the game plays, feels, and is.
I dig it.
And if you still want to be full quick cast across the board, you can. If you still want to be none of that ever, you can. Like, it's the epitome of let the players do what they want, which I like a lot. What do you think, Patrick? You excited?
Well, first of all, thank you for saying that I'm good at the game. It's a blatant lie, but I appreciate it. I'm probably not going to be playing around with quick casting. It seems like, you know, I'm just wrapping my head around one character now. But maybe, you know, I don't know. I like the fact that it's got so much visual aid in the game, right? That you can, that you can basically know where the thing is going to go. When I play Vala, I know where the arrow is going to go. So I think it's, I still think it's probably for people who master the game a little bit more than me. But how you're saying it's super easy to do, how does it work within the game then?
You just hit escape and there's a, right down
there. Oh, the key bind, it's the key bindings menu. Yeah. See, before you would just change this in the standard settings under gameplay, you would just say, I want quick cast on, off, or on release. Those are your three options.
Yeah.
And now you go into key bindings and you can basically just move anything wherever you want it.
Quick cast setting there.
Yeah.
Oh, I actually, I downloaded the PTR, client as we were talking. And yeah, there is in the menu, you can choose Americas, Europe, Asia. So now the question is,
switch you quickly or
Okay, so it tells me I was disconnected from Battle.net when I... So we don't know. We don't know if it just switches you as if you did from... As if you did it from within the Battle.net client, and it's just a way to switch regions.
Or keep all your stuff. Yeah, I don't know that.
Or if it keeps all your stuff, yeah.
Yeah, but, I don't know that. Although do remember that PTR is going to start you with no stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right, so, right. Of course.
Yeah.
So...
Anyway, it's
Yeah, anyway, it seems cool. I don't think I'm going to mess with it, though. Not before I have a little bit more confidence in my ability.
Sure. I think you know, it's funny because Kyle talks about this a little bit on Into the Nexus, that you get to a certain point in gameplay where you understand the strategy, you understand how to play your hero really well, and trying to eke out a little bit more from yourself is a matter of now mastering quick casting and stuff, because... what it allows you to do is essentially get your abilities off in a much more efficient manner, right? So what you want to do is make sure first, like, I think it's a baby steps thing. It's like, get good at the game without the quick casting first, because it's going to throw you off, and you're going to be spending more time getting used to that than anything else. And later on, it'll be easier to kind of retrain yourself to get good at it than right now, where you're trying to think about all these other things, like, where am I standing? You know, not dying, all that kind of stuff. I think it overcomplicates things a little bit early on. So
it's a refinement.
Move on to that later, because I think, like, he switched to like ultimate quick casting now on everything.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people use quick cast on release.
Yeah.
Where you click the thing and but it doesn't go off until you actually let off of the button, right?
Ah, that's what it is. Okay, yeah, that makes sense. That
So you can like hold the Q down, and then the mouse will be in whatever direction, and then it'll go off when you let go of Q.
Right.
That's the quick cast on release thing.
Yeah.
But then there's the ultimate quick cast, where it's just like, I just click Q, and whatever direction my mouse was in at the moment I click Q, it went off in that direction, right?
Yeah. That's what a lot of people are...
So that makes hitting skill shots very tough.
Yeah, I completely agree if you're not used to it. So it's a refinement thing. It's a thing after you're used to it, you get down to like, well, I really want to refine my play, and this is maybe a place to go. I'm personally completely jazzed about it. So we'll see how that goes.
So I might have bad news for that region thing. Tried it, and it says the version is mismatched between the... an error message. I can't log in. And I'm wondering if the reason it's in... isn't specifically for the PTR, for that, so that you can get your stuff.
Well, it's only in the PTR currently. So, maybe
Okay. Anyway,
I see that as a positive thing, though. Maybe it's not ready for prime time because it's not in the wild where all the servers are connected. Because you're just on a limited number of servers. I guess
did it have it before, or did it appear for the first time?
No, it wasn't in there before. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
First time I've ever seen it. Yeah.
Okay. We can all have hope.
This last update was the first time I'd ever seen it.
If I'm not playing you when you're in Tokyo, then all bets are off. F everybody. Forget it. I'm out.
That can still happen. It's just you're going to have to make a new account.
A free-to-play account.
Yeah. I don't want to do that. Maybe I'll make you do it. All right. Anyway, Overwatch, some big stuff on that game. We're running a little late on time, so I'm going to spend a ton of time on all of it, but there's some pretty great stuff happening. If anyone hasn't seen it yet, you need to run, not walk, and watch the Winston origin story business that they put up, their first cinematic short. Long-awaited short, first of four total, I think, is the plan. And there's three more, I believe.
Is it only four? I was hoping there was going to be like 10. Like,
I was hoping there's just going to be like 30.
I think it's like four. Keep going. I think it's like four before launch. But I don't think that means they're stopping. It's called Recall, and it's awesome. Another reminder that Blizzard's cinematics team is the best in the freaking business. And it's wonderful and even a little tear jerky if you fall for that sort of thing. Winston's a badass. And also there's some interesting things like, I don't know, speculation about heroes that aren't released yet because a whole bunch of their faces show up. And there's this scene in there where you get to see all these things. And I'm half convinced that it's old ideas that never made it. Combined,
I think some of them are. Yeah. I think some of them look really basic and they were just like somebody just made this so they could go by.
Yeah.
But some of them actually look like characters that I think we're going to see.
Yeah. I think so too.
But there's 14 or something like that, 14 heroes that go by that we don't actually have.
Yeah.
And it's a little optimistic to think that all 14 of them are heroes that are coming. Mm-hmm. But there's some really, really weird looking ones and some cool concepts in there that I think make sense.
Yeah.
That we'll see.
Totally.
Yeah, I think they're definitely working on different heroes now, and it would make sense. They've been peppering hints and stuff all over the game already, so it would be weird that they wouldn't include the heroes they're working on now in that list.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's also a great.
And they know people are going to go through this, right? I mean, they understand what we do.
Sure.
So, and these it would be a little crappy of them to just be like, nope, never mind, none of these are real.
Yeah,
we're just messing with you.
The Easter egg stuff's pretty strong in this one. There's a point where he's looking at this world map deciding whether he needs to call up the other members of the now disbanded Overwatch, and in the corner he's not playing Hearthstone, but he's clearly watching someone stream it is what it looked like to me.
Warcraft 2 like he has a little baby computer.
Mm-hmm.
And there's actually like Warcraft 2 being played on his little baby computer.
Yeah, which I think is a hint at when that stuff was going on with that doctor and him, and you know, supposed to be set in the early 90s, kind of. And there's a lot of unanswered questions even in this short, but there's plenty more to come. And I love it. I freaking love it. It's really, really good.
By the way, the moment when they open the thing and he shows them the planet Earth,
yeah,
that would freak me out, dude. I wouldn't be able to do it. I wouldn't be able to be Baby Winston in that moment.
Get me out of here, dude. You and your space thing. I just think that is so
funny. I can't
do
it, dude. I think space is fine, but I think it's like when you're way above Earth specifically. I just don't like that.
Don't like it at all. That's so funny. I was watching Armageddon.
The thing when that guy jumped out with the Red Bull suit and he floated up in the balloon and then skydived from there. I was like, oh, God, no. Just, no, never.
You still haven't seen Gravity, right? Not
no.
gonna do it.
Oh, I'll never see Gravity. No.
I love that. I love that.
I don't want nightmares for the rest of my life.
I think that is such a cool phobia. I don't know why. It seems unique for some reason. All right. So the latest patch is all kinds of rad. Let's talk about weekly brawls, inspired even in their own words by what Hearthstone does with their tavern brawls. And right now they're daily because they're testing them in a sort of this closed environment. So we get to actually see what they're doing pretty much every day. And here, I actually have a list of a few of these, and these are great. So for those who don't understand what it is, it's basically mutated versions of the game that you'll be able to play on the weekly, and they'll be like really strange mix-ups. Like the first one, and one that's actually, I think, active today, maybe not today, maybe it was yesterday, but anyway, the Super Shimada Brothers, which is Hanamura, Genji and Hanzo only, faster abilities, slower ultimates, way more life.
They have like 400 life. It's just those guys, but you're queued up in teams of six still.
Yeah.
And
it's great. Yeah, it's
shoot the crap out of each other for a long time. It's awesome.
I love this one because it plays off one of his voice samples, but there's one where you're all Soldier 76 and it's called We're All Soldiers Now. And you know,
there's the one that's currently on the game is Mystery Heroes. Basically, you get a randomly selected hero every time you die.
Oh my god,
it is that's super awesome. Fun, super all fun. Right. You know, the thing I love about the these brawls is that I've played a lot of Overwatch. I think I've mentioned this a few times, and I'm sort of getting a little bit tryhardy now. When I lose, I get really frustrated. And by the way, I played with a full team this afternoon, just people I met that were absolutely awesome. Yeah. But we were matched against other full teams. And holy crap, that's a whole different game.
Yeah.
It is so difficult. I mean, everyone's on point. They're super. It is incredibly. It's completely different.
Yeah.
Super. If we had played half as well in those games, you know, in as we did in those games, in regular games, we would have destroyed everyone all the time. But since it was team versus team, anyway, super hard.
Yeah.
But this, so the brawls sort of take the pressure off completely. You're just having fun. It doesn't even count towards your win-loss ratio. It's just, and if you lose, especially with the mystery heroes, it's just, you know, you lose because it's a hero you don't really know. That's why. It's not because you didn't play well. So I'm loving the brawls.
It's pretty
neat.
It's
great for new player, you know, players that don't want to, you know, try hard and feel frustrated all the time.
I look forward just to it being a goof in the same way that the Hearthstone stuff is. Here's a couple of them I really like. Highly offensive, all offensive heroes limited to two of the same per team. Heads up is good. McCree, Genji, Hanzo, Widowmaker, only headshots. That's all you can do. Nothing else will hurt the other team. Only headshots. This one's good. The good, the bad, and the ugly. McCree, Reaper, and Roadhog, and that's it.
It's awesome. Yeah. I love that title.
It's pretty good.
It's actually... it sort of reminds me of one of the my favorite one-liners from McCree.
Yeah,
you know, one of his emotes. He says, "I ain't good, I ain't bad, but I sure as hell ain't ugly." I love it.
That's not bad. There's also maybe my favorite in that they're just, I like the play on words. They have one called MOBA Watch. Like Overwatch, but MOBA Watch. It's unique heroes per team, no switching allowed the entire game.
What everyone's been asking for, right? Yeah. This is what they wanted.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes for them.
Yeah.
Justice Reigns from Above is all fair and mercy. I mean, it sounds awesome. I can't wait to play more of this, and the one that's currently going is really good. So anyway, that's a very exciting turn of events. There's a new map, Route 66. It's as if it was made for me. I freaking love it. It's my favorite theme of the entire game. I wish they were all desert maps. I think it's awesome.
And the huge added benefit of that map for someone like me who's completely OCD is the fact that it brings the number of maps for all the modes to 3. They all have 3 maps now. There's not this weird little payload thing that only has 2 when all of them have 3. It's awesome.
Do you think we're going to, I mean, I don't know if Kaplan has said as much, but do we get more than this before launch? Or do we know what the total map count is before launch? Or do we not know
I think we're set now. I think that's it.
Yeah.
We might get an additional mode by, you know, after the game launches. He was sort of hinting at the fact that they weren't done with maps and modes. Mm-hmm. But I think by now it's sort of getting late and they wouldn't have time to balance everything because the open beta is coming in about a month. So I think that's the lineup. It's pretty decent. It's very good. Yeah. But I think that there's an additional mode that's going to come at a later point.
Yeah, we know more maps and characters are too, so that's all good. I'm fine with 9, and they're all real strong, so bring it.
It's more than 9, it's 12.
No, you're
it's
right.
Four modes.
You're right, four it's, modes, three each. You're right. I did the math wrong. I was thinking there were only 3 modes, but I forgot about the control stuff that we got now. And the third map's pretty awesome too. Where is it set? I forget now, but it's all like Roman columns and crap. It's the one the other night, Dills, where you, for whatever reason, kept getting shifted to observer mode when you should have been in the game.
Well, okay, that's the other thing we should tell people. This new patch also brings a very, very short AFK timer.
Yeah, it's
really short.
It's a real piece of poo.
They fixed it.
Okay, good. Yeah, because it was kicking me when I just got up to go get like a glass of water. It was terrible.
No, you picked a character in skirmish, moved around a little bit.
I actually had a character picked too, which was the crazy thing.
That
I was like,
really weird.
Yeah.
And you went up to get a drink and came back for 5 seconds and you're like, wait a minute, why the hell am I behind somebody's head now? What's going on? That was really odd.
But it was, the thing is, the way the game works too, that this kind of constant queuing thing, once you start, you just keep queuing unless you leave game.
Yeah.
It's not very conducive to also have a really, really short AFK timer because you want to get up and, you know, take a leak or something in between games real fast, but keep playing. And it was eliminating that possibility, the shortness of it. So
Bio
glad
breaks.
To hear they fixed that.
Bio breaks are now back, everybody. It's back in fashion.
I wasn't the only one who had that problem, too. There was a Reddit post about it in the Overwatch subreddit. And people were not happy.
Yeah, it was pretty pretty rough.
Well, it bit you in the ass like two times right now.
It got me twice, and I was like, I'm out.
That's it.
I can't do this.
It's like midnight your time. I'm done. Maybe you went to play pool or something. Yeah. She's like, I'm going to go play a game with a real ball and a stick now. I'm out.
Yep. I'm going to go out and play in real life now.
That was awesome. And then I also noticed there's just a lot more polish to this particular patch, and they introduced achievements. So that's cool.
Yes.
If you want to have achievements, I guess they're there now. And there's a list of them floating around, so people can go check that out. But anyway, on the whole, yeah, Overwatch still killing it. Still the awesome game to beat for me right now. Loving it.
Sure. There's one additional thing I wanted to mention. There's a Reddit thread that posted this. Basically, you know how some of the characters interact with one another in different ways, either when they're friends or when they, you know, kill one another, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And definitely the Reddit poster was saying this is the best one-liner in the game, bar none. It's, you know, contest over. And I think I agree. And it's something that happens when Tracer is chasing Reaper and ends up killing him.
Okay.
I have it lined up here. I hope you can hear it if I play. Let me know if you can hear this.
Yep, totally can hear it. Totally can hear it.
Did you hear it?
Yep.
Okay, so this is what happens when she kills him. There you go. Here.
All right.
Did you hear?
What'd she say?
She's saying, "Death comes." Oh. She's like making fun of Reaper, who says, "Death comes." It is awesome.
You ever get that feeling of deja vu?
Yeah, she's pretty great, and I had never heard her say that.
Anyway.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's cool.
She's great, or she's annoying as hell.
Yeah, one or the other. Yeah, if she's on your team and someone's playing her well, man, I'd love her. If she's on the other team and they're being played well, F her. She's the worst. Hey, guys, quick bunch of talk here. Real short, though. So don't worry, we'll get right back to the business at hand. But I want to talk to you about Squarespace. Squarespace.com has been around for a long time and have been one of my favorite ways to do anything on the web. And when it comes to making a website, why would you go anywhere else? If you want to make something good, like looks good, has great standards for the web, looks good on mobile, looks good on desktop, all that stuff, templates you can rely on and think look cool, go no further than Squarespace.com. My favorite thing about Squarespace.com is if I want to build that storefront or portfolio or blog, I don't have to put in a credit card to see if I like it or not. You get a 14-day trial just by signing in there and putting a name in, and that's it. No credit card required. Do the full trial, and at the end of it, if you decide to stay, and I think you might, use the code INSTANCE at checkout. That's going to save you 10% on your order. That's Squarespace.com and the code INSTANCE. Build it beautiful. Let's move on to some quick email and a quick phone call, and then we will get out of here. Here you go.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the Town Crier.
It's the Town Crier. It's where you leave your messages, both phone and email. We play them on the show and talk about them on the show. That thing to do is easy, so just do it like this. Call this phone number, 801-471-0462. That's 801-471-0462 for our voicemail, or email us, theinstance@gmail.com. Here's a call. It has to do with stuff, and I'll just play it.
I'm Jason from beautiful Park City, Utah. First of all, love the show, but I've been becoming infatuated with Heroes of the Storm. I freaking am having a blast playing it. I don't want to bring this up again, but I think we need Blizmeebos. I would buy them all up. I just want that physical thing to hold of all of those characters that I love to buy. Thanks again for all the hard work on the show, and I'd love to hear your comments.
All right, Blizmeebos, back in the public consciousness. It's happening.
I love how he says, I don't want to bring it up again, but I'm going to bring it up again. And also, I'd love to have your comments.
Yeah.
So, thank you.
You guys, I mean, Patrick, you still believe interactive Blizmeebos, like in the sense that they affect games or are little toys you could put on a tablet and they would do something to a game. You still say that's far afield from anything we'll ever actually get, but I've come around to where you're at, to be honest. As much as I would love the idea of this and the toys to life genre, I feel like it's starting to run out of a little bit of steam. There's a little bit of a Rock Band Guitar Hero thing happening, in my opinion. I could be wrong. It's just a sense I have, but I don't know that stuff's... I feel like it's a little bit... The trend is tapering off. And so why would Blizzard...
But that's a toy thing. Like, toys do that, right?
Yeah.
Anything like that.
Yeah, they do. I mean, the Blizzard's never going to stop making rad figures and cool... Sure. Deals with people like Pop Toys.
Toys
and,
aren't going away.
Sure.
The specific runs of toys.
Yeah.
I think it was Gary who was telling me. I guess he really got into the Beanie Babies thing. And then,
oh my gosh, really?
You know,
I got a new thing to make fun of him about.
Or Katie did or something. But mm-hmm. He was like, yeah, and then they're worth nothing. So
I love that there's a new thing to tease him about. In fact, I even have, listen to this, I have a clip that I will play for him when I see him next. Here you go.
Have fun collecting Beanie Babies.
No. No. I don't want to have fun collecting.
It's so fun.
Yeah. Patrick, did France ever get the Beanie Baby bug? Did you guys do any of that?
Don't think so. No, it doesn't ring a bell. I mean, I've heard Beanie Babies everywhere. Now I have to Google it.
It was like, what was it like in our day? I'm trying to think of something that was similar. Something that we could all... like relate to nerd wise. It's hard to say, but it was like this collectible craze, and there started to be, I don't know, people that would do like Beanie Baby meetings at your house, and they'd come over and people would swap and collect and
no
buy,
like
and
some Beanie Babies were worth hundreds of dollars. It was crazy. Yeah, it was stupid.
It was real dumb. But that being said, more what this caller says he wants, I think he's gonna get, which is more collectible characters. What I don't want are those bulbous looking kind of way overly cartoony ones. I want the ones that look like the way these models look in the game. A little stylized is fine, but something more, you know, akin to what the Disney Infinity guys look like. That stuff is really cool. If Blizzard made an entire roster of heroes from Heroes of the Storm from that kind of template, I'd buy every single one of them. I'd own them all, whether they were worth something or not. So I'm totally with him on that. But I don't think the day is going to come. And I hate siding with Patrick on things because it makes it sound like I support France. But like I don't think we're ever going to get to the day where they're IR coded or whatever, and that they're going to
get
read
something
in
the game. Yeah, probably not.
Probably not. I think it's too trendy and it came and went. It's a bit like Kinect and Move back when Sony and Microsoft were rushing to match Nintendo with motion control. Just it was too late and the fad had kind of flown by. Didn't have the
stuff. The thing is, with these kinds of things, anything you do with the figures on the, you know, technical level, gameplay wise, you could do without the figures. So really, the buying the toys becomes a money grab, and you have the little figure that you can put on your shelf. Mm-hmm. But anyway, let's not. You were saying you're coming onto my side, so I'm not going to continue the conversation.
He's going to let that happen?
Yeah. Just going to let me come on over there? All right. Yep. I'll stay on the couch. I keep to myself. I'm clean. I don't smell bad. It'll be fine. Here's an email from Hank the Tank, my favorite new name for anyone emailing us in. Hank the Tank. He says this: "Hey guys, been playing The Division, and I keep having this feeling that it would be really cool if we had a game like this set in the StarCraft universe. With that level of detail and roughly the same kind of gameplay loop, are you guys playing The Division? And could you see this? Or could you see what I see? I'd love to hear your thoughts, Hank the Tank." I've been playing The Division as well. And I know, Patrick, you've dabbled some. Yeah? Haven't you? I think you have. I've been talking about it.
I've played a little bit. I'm not getting in. I'm just very at the very beginning. And for some reason, I'm not getting into it. Mm. But I must be the only person on Earth because everyone is loving it. The Division is basically it's like Destiny, it's like a bunch of other games, it's multiplayer co-op games that try to bring elements from MMOs into single player genre. Mm-hmm. And it's awesome. It works great. I think, yes, why not have something in the world of StarCraft, maybe a resurrection of StarCraft Ghost in multiplayer form, or... Yeah, sure.
This game, on. My time I mean, in this game I'd so far it. With six or seven levels or whatever I've played feels like Diablo with guns. And you could say that about Borderlands. You could say that about Destiny. You could say that about a lot of these kind of games. And if you're into that kind of kill stuff and get loot from it and maybe find some rad drop once in a while, then this is totally for you and you'll probably really enjoy it. I would eat that up because if Blizzard brought that IP to bear... And then brought that the level of detail in that game is really remarkable in The Division. if they brought that kind of level of detail to some of the planets or locations or whatever in the world of StarCraft, and also put in a layer of they really know how to balance out really good loot games and grinds and RNG and all that, that the, you know, all bets are off. It's all I'd play. I mean, it would literally probably be the only game I cared about for a very long time. The problem is, it's a huge game. Like, Division is not some small little effort by some dinky studio. It would require a whole new team at Blizzard and a lot of resources. And I feel
I
like
think
they're
we're close to another IP from Blizzard.
Not either. That kind of IP. Maybe a mobile or some other thing. But I don't think we're looking at like a big AAA game like that. At least not for a while.
Not for a while. Yeah.
Maybe well, the StarCraft team
we can dream. Mm-hmm. Sure. Okay. If you use StarCraft, then that skips a bunch of stuff, right?
Sure. But, you don't have to start over, I guess. But story-wise or some of the art or whatever.
No, but I mean, even if you don't use the StarCraft IP, the StarCraft team is now done with StarCraft 2, right? And we know from experience that because they've said so, when they're done with a game, they get together and they say, all right, what do you guys want to do next? Each team is independent at Blizzard. Mm-hmm. And if they say, hey, we want to make the Division StarCraft, maybe they're going to do that. I mean, they're all RTS nerds, so I don't know. Maybe they're going to do another RTS. But it seems like the teams are clearly divided between Heroes and StarCraft. Mm. And that StarCraft team has to be working on something. I don't know. Maybe it's going to be StarCraft 4. Maybe it's going to be Warcraft 4. StarCraft 3 or Warcraft 4. Maybe it's going to be something else. But
isn't Dustin Browder in charge of both teams? I mean, it's essentially the same team, two divisions. Yeah.
Basically, the Heroes team was split off from the StarCraft team. And as far as I know, maybe it's changed, but it's Chris Siggety and Dustin Browder basically heading the team, which is called Team 2 at Blizzard. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, Team 1. Oh, I'm already forgetting the names of the teams.
Come on, Patrick. You need to remember every single thing ever. You just have to remember all things. It's fine.
And so Team 1 is Heroes and StarCraft. It's sort of two half, not half teams, but two teams within one team. Maybe they're going to splinter off at some point. But yeah.
Well, time will tell. Thanks for the email and thanks for the call. If you want to get those in again, 801-471-0462, or you can email us theinstance@gmail.com. Let's get out of here. Before we do, let's talk about where people can be found and all the things they got going on. I noticed Dill's launched a brand new rad Patreon for all his good work. Where can people find him? What's going on?
It's just patreon.com/WillyDills. And essentially at this point, it's just because, we're doing daily content with the streaming and stuff like that, but we want to start doing more stuff with the YouTube channel and all that. But we need to kind of make money. So there you go. Yep. That's what's going on. But patreon.com/WillyDills. And if you go over there and do it, there's some cool perks. Kind of get to be a little bit of an insider if you want and help me with the direction that some content will go and then have some feedback and stuff like that at different levels. So let me know. There was a limit on the 35 or more gets you a weekly Hearthstone session. Mm-hmm. So essentially like a running lesson every month. And those are all gone. So I may add some more because I didn't expect those to be gone in one day. So if that's something that interests you, I will be adding some more of those because it's a cool thing. I think, if somebody out there wants to be able to talk Hearthstone once a month and get, a little help and direction and wants to continue growing, then that's a way to do it. So. If you want to support me, that's the best way to do it right now. And just check out the stream, twitch.tv/WillyDillsSF, and the YouTube channel. We're launching with a few videos, so got to get those all done and out and all that, but it's close.
Cool.
Very, very close.
That's awesome. Everyone should go check it out. That's patreon.com/WillyDills. Patrick, what's going on, man, before you go to Japan? What are you doing?
So first of all, I asked Dustin Browder on Twitter as we were doing the show if we have any info for Arena Mode.
Yeah.
Since we didn't have any info since BlizzCon, he says it's still coming, but sorry, no ETA.
Look at that. Getting answers on the fly. You should ask him about your region switchy business there. See what's
maybe I will.
Yeah. He's in one of his moods. You can see it. He's answering all kinds of questions this morning. So
he's pretty active, which is awesome. Yeah. And very forthcoming. Yeah.
He reminds me, he's the Greg Street of Blizzard at the moment, just on a different team. Very interfacey with questions and people.
Greg Street really did kind of leave a legacy where a lot of these, all the games kind of have their version of him now.
Yeah,
I think
so too. Except
Ben Brode is always answering people on Twitter.
Except
pretty cool.
World of Warcraft doesn't exactly.
Except World of Warcraft.
Yeah. That's the only one. Shameful.
Hey, it's a hard hole to fill, man. That's all I'm saying. It's a big old hole, big old Greg hole you got to fill. Anyway, sorry, Patrick. What are you doing? Where are you going? What's going on?
Now I'm typing the question to Browder.
You can find me on Twitter typing questions, Dustin Browder.
Oh my God, I'm typing. I want to finish it.
It's
before...
all right, finish typing. I can tell people where you're at. FrenchSpin.com.
No, it's okay. It's fine. It's fine. I'm done.
All right.
What was I saying? Not Patrick on Twitter and Facebook, and also at FrenchSpin.com. We have Pixels, which is a video game show where we talk about the news, and we also have the Phileas Club. I just recorded an episode this morning. On that one, we get people from different countries getting together and talking about what has happened in their countries in the past month. And we talked about the Brussels thing. We had someone from Dubai and someone from Sweden, and it was fun. I hesitate to say fun, but it was definitely interesting. So yeah. The Phileas Club is also at FrenchSpin.com.
Having been on there a few times, I can testify it's a fine program, and you owe it to yourselves to listen. I guess that's going to do it for us. Thanks, everybody, for being here. TheInstance.net is our website. All things you need are there, so just go check that out and subscribe to the show for free wherever you may get it, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever. Follow us on Twitter at Instance Show, at Scott Johnson, at Willie Dills, at Not Patrick. More shows like this at frogpants.com. For me, for Dills, for Patrick, and for the con-weary Terpster. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Cheese. Look, pause the game cause I'm back now. I log on, make those blue bow. We camp graveyards in that game, wow.
Duh.
They say we won, well, cue again.
Ooh. Hell yeah.
Keep on capping like a winner.
Say what?
Hell yeah. Keep on ginking cause we'll kill us.
Say what?
Hell yeah. Go and give them all the finger. We gotta set the score right, killing all the hunters. We win wherever I go. Those allies gonna need some aloe. Cause we burning blue to the ground. Yo, about to go ape. Hey, let's win this show.
Battlegrounds all night. Blue is who we fight. And we roll pre-mates. Yeah, we got pre-mates. Horde will win this fight. Only red in sight. Playing on our team is someone like us. Hordies, gank, squad, watch us while we gank those blue. Us, Hordies, gank, squad, are you rolling with the crew?
Wow. Back from the alpha, looking for a gank, I recruit ya. Group with me, I'm a thriller. I ain't UPS, I deliver. See, I'm staying on that grind. Captain flags, got that KB on my mind. Know I'm the phantom, I hunt him all the time. Got the blue and go crying all night. And I wait for that patch day. 7.0 gonna be cray.
What?
When it hits, that's how I play. PvP talents grow in another trade.
Battlegrounds all night. Blue is who we fight. And we roll pre-mates. Yeah, we got pre-mates. Horde will win this fight. Only red in sight. Playing on our team is someone like us. Hordies, gank, squad, watch us while we gank those blue. Us, Hordies, gank, squad, are you rolling with the crew?
Here we queue up for some BGs, BGs, capping all the flags with ease, all the aliens begging on their knees, we gank all those blue, yep, one, two, threes. Here we queue up for some BGs, BGs, capping all the flags with ease, all the aliens begging on their knees, we gank all those blue, yep, one, two, threes.
Battlegrounds all night, blue is who we fight, and we roll pre-mates, yeah we got pre-mates, or we'll win this fight.
watches while we gank those blue. Us Hordies gank squad, are you rolling with our crew? Are you rolling with our crew?
Map makers just say no to continental confusion. It's the Overly Dramatic News. I'm Hunts the Wind. It all used to be so simple. You had the Eastern Kingdoms on the right and Kalimdor on the left. Since Azeroth didn't appear to be affected by plate tectonics, Stormwind's Cartographers Guild could take their time creating beautiful, intricately detailed maps of the world as we knew it. But all that changed just a few years ago with the discovery of a massive continent at the top of the world, Northrend. Excited to have something new to draw, the scribes dove into revisions to their world atlas with gusto, and after 2 years of hard work, plan to proudly display their new definitive atlas at the yearly Explorers League conference. But just days before the gala, word reached the king that his son's ship had stumbled upon a massive southern continent. In an instant, thousands of man-hours of work were made obsolete. With a collective sigh, the guild started work on yet another atlas that would include Pandaria. With this latest atlas almost done, however, scout ships now report new discoveries just south of Howling Fjord. The mapmakers are, to put it mildly, furious. They have tossed their work into a bonfire and gone on strike. They demand a 5-year moratorium on exploration, and they want Gnome Illustration Scribe, also known as GIS specialists, to ease their workload. One thing is for certain, the frustration of these miffed makers of maps is off the charts. Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.